If everyone would please take their seats, it is 6:30, and we can start. That's what we were waiting for. We can't start before the advertised time. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. We are in legislative chambers tonight on the sixth floor of the Ulster County Office Building. The date is June the 5th, 2018, and it is 6:30 p.m. Mary, would you call roll, please?
Legislator Archer?
Present.
Legislator DeLon? Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez? Legislator Waltman?
Here.
Chairman Maloney?
Here. Everyone was distributed the May 1st and May 8th minutes electronically. Are there any deletions, corrections, or additions to those minutes as presented?
Move for approval. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. This evening we have Christopher White, the Deputy Director of Planning, for an update on the Ashokan Rail Trail project. Chris?
Thank you. I wanted to first just say we have a resolution coming to your committee as of late this month on another project, the Kingston Rail Trail project. That's the link connector between the Hurley O&W Rail Trail and Kingston, and it's for it's basically the grant agreement with New York State DOT for the right-of-way acquisition phase of the project. We apologize that it's a late. It was actually an administrative error. It was put in, and then it didn't make it into the submittals. What I thought is I asked the chairman if I could do a quick update tonight. We're going to be coming to your committee and to the legislature for the August session with hopefully our phase two of Ashokan Rail Trail. So I wanted to give you an update before I'm coming to you asking for money. The Ashokan Rail Trail project, you all know, goes from West Hurley to Boyceville. One of the reasons I wanted to show this is during phase one of the construction that I'll talk about, these six circles are the only spots we've been able to access that corridor. There's only six entrances on the roughly 12 miles. And then you also have two washouts, one where the Boyceville trestle has collapsed and the other where the Butternut culvert has collapsed. And I have photos of those later on. Many of you know you approved the track removal in November of 2017, and we began after finalizing our permits in early January. We've removed over 120,000 linear feet of track, so two track all the way the 11.5 miles. We removed over 2,300 trees, most of which were dead ash that would have collapsed on the trail. We installed construction entrances again at E8B, E8, E5 and W7. So if you go in there, you'll see stone, you'll see an apron going out to 28 so that the trucks can get in and out. We're about 80% complete with the tie removal. That's taken us more time because the ties were so heavily deteriorated, and as you're pulling them up, they're falling apart. And then we're starting this week on the removal of the spikes and the other miscellaneous metal that's left after you take out the track and the ties. We should be done by the end of June or early July. I wanted to just show you what things look like. This is the Woodstock Dyke looking westward 2 years ago. This is what it looks like earlier this year. We've got a nice rough graded surface on which we'll put a 4-foot subbase and a 4-inch subbase and then a 4-inch top coat and then fencing and other amenities. This is the Glenford Dyke looking eastward. That's what it looked like as of a couple months ago. So our guys did a lot of work, and they had to stay within a tight. DEP was very aggressive in making sure that we didn't go beyond a 12-foot disturbance. This is an area that's west of the dikes in the town of Hurley, and that's what that looks like today. So you basically have almost like an improved logging road that's better than a lot of the areas of some of our other rail trails, like the northern part of the Walkell Valley Rail Trail. The phase two that we're going to be bringing to you, we're going to be bringing it to you in July. We hope to begin in early August. Again, it's an 11.5 mile crushed stone trail. We're going to do the whole thing, but we are going to pull out the Boyceville Trestle, which I'll talk about in a minute. We have
46 drainage culverts that need to be repaired, cleaned, have aprons added, have new head walls added. We are going to be replacing the Butternut Creek culvert, and that's what that looks like. So that's a major project. That right there is over $1 million to take out, and then what we're going to do is put in a bridge and daylight that creek so that we restore the Butternut Creek to its historic flow before it was put into that culvert. We're also going to be doing a lot of fencing, signage, some historical interpreted displays, and we are aiming to have this open next year in the fall. Boyceville Bridge, we have pulled out of the project because we've already gone to bid once. We went to bid in May. We had bids come back, and the low bids were approximately $11.6 million, and this was $5 million of it. So this was really, this swung the project beyond what we are comfortable with on budget, and what we're doing now is, this is what it would look like. This is a major bridge. It's a 300-foot bridge. We're proposing to put in a 360-foot bridge and raise it up higher so it's out of the floodplain, but that had a cost, and it's right now, we're going to pull this out of the project because we haven't confirmed the FEMA funding that was allocated for this back after the storms in 2011. We've gotten one of two approvals from FEMA. We've been going back and forth to say whether or not we deserve any money, if so, how much, and now we've determined how much, but we have to rescope the project for the bridge that we raise out of the floodplain. So what we're going to do is bring to you the phase two project. That's out to bid right now. Our bids are coming back June 21st. We hope that project comes in more reasonably. We've talked to contractors and the unions, and they said, you know, you almost hurt yourself by putting this major bridge project with the trail project. And some of the firms that normally would have bid on the trail didn't because of the major bridge. So then, again, we would hope to start the work in August and be done by fall of 2019. I also want to say about the first bids, even if the Boyceville Trestle hadn't increased the price so radically, our two low bids were $73 apart on an $11.6 million project. Wow. And then when we did the math correction on them, it flipped who was low bidder, and now the low bidder was $270 above the other one. So whoever we would have awarded this to, I'm confident we would have had some kind of legal challenge. So what I hope to do in July is bring to you a construction capital project amendment, a construction contract, a construction inspection contract, and a bond resolution. So they're before. And that's all I have. So if you have questions, I also want to just offer, if you or other members of the legislature want to go out there now and walk it, it's much easier to walk than it was a year ago. And all of it is cleared right now. Going back to this, basically we're clear from here all the way to W7 now. So that area is all backbladed and rough graded. This is getting done right now. So if you want to walk any of those sections, we can arrange that. Dennis has environmental challenges. That's your problem. No, part of what I try to convey through these photos is just we had this available width, and then on the sides, a lot of these areas, because they weren't cleaned for years, like drainage culverts weren't cleaned for about 30 years. We actually have areas of the rail bed that have become wetland. And so we have one area in particular, Wetland O. Let me give you a picture of that. Whoops. I stuck it in just in case I needed it. So we have one area that's about 750 feet, and that's what it looks like. So this is Wetland O. And because these culverts, which drained into the reservoir, weren't cleaned out, we essentially created a Wetland O, which DEP has now said you can't go through. And so this is looking west, this is looking eastward. We're going to actually have to start back here and go around this trail some 800 feet on a route. That's added a lot of cost and time to the project as well. And this isn't unique. We have another wetland back by Reservoir Road where we have to build a 500-foot platform. So that's roughly in this area. And that's a state-regulated wetland. And the Army Corps of Engineers also had jurisdiction, and they said, you know, if you don't want to have to do all kinds of expensive mitigation, you need to go over this wetland. So those things have added a lot of complexity. It's going to be, there'll be cool features on the trail, but they certainly have been costly. And it's been this constant balancing act between, you know, the need to have a usable trail and the protection of the wetland and the drinking water resources. And DEP and the county have worked really closely together the last year and a half to get through it. Is that good? Thank you.
I got a couple questions.
Sure.
Wetland O. Wetland O. Did we take the tracks and the ties out of there?
We took the tracks out. The ties are still there, and right now we are negotiating with DEP on what to do on that. We have all of the ties west of here are, you have to go through either here or the workaround. Now the workaround, we've cut the trees, but we didn't grub it and make a passable area. So DEP has said, you're doing so much damage here, you're either gonna have to leave the ties for now and put down some stone and put some super silt fence, or you're gonna have to go around. So we're working with them right now to be able to access this. And the reason that's important, again, is if you look at it, this think of the New York State Thruway. If you get on exit 18, you either got to turn around and go back to exit 18 or go to exit 19. So for our purposes here, wetland, oh, the state wetland is here where we have the boardwalk. Wetland O is here. I've really only got one way in to get to this 2 miles. And so we're working on that right now. We think the end result will be the ties, and the track is gone, but the ties will probably be removed from that area as well.
So if you're going to remove the ties, you have to put stone back in.
We wouldn't put stone back in. If we do the workaround, we wouldn't fill it back in. We just leave it and let it be.
I would think DEP would want you to put the stone back in.
They haven't so far.
Well,
I can never guess what they want.
I think your engineer needs to pursue that, because that's typically what you do when you cross a wetland. You put stone in so the water can still travel. You're not blocking any of the drainage.
Our permit.
And if we're going to go in and take the ties out and put the stone back in, the only thing that's lacking is 4 inches of subbase and a surface. So I really think if they're going to let you go that far, they'd let you do the rest.
The question is whether they let us go that far, and I don't think they will. We're really.
So then you want to leave the ties in?
No, they would take the ties. We would take the ties out, and then we would leave it. It would be left with, like, if we don't use it to traverse, again, going back to, so the workaround starts back here where it's dry, and then it comes up and around. We're really looking, frankly, at taking that and now grubbing it and putting rock and making, because I have to do that in phase two anyway. So rather than do improvements to something that I'm not going to be able to use in the future, I'd rather put that money towards something that's going to save me money in phase two. And I still have a little bit in the budget in phase
one. I just have a difference of opinion. I think you can put a permanent solution there that you can use. It'd be cheaper.
We're precluded from doing that by our Army Corps of Engineer permit. This was part of the deal of us getting our permits. We had to leave that area.
The biggest problem with them is disturbance.
Yes.
And if you're going to rip the ties out, you're disturbing it already. So that part it is already done. That's a done deal.
Right.
So stabilizing it is what you would put stone back in.
Yeah.
And it's a shame you took the rails out, because then you could have built some sort of a platform system right over the rails. Anyway. That's homework for you guys to do. My second question is from Boyceville up to the western end. What's going to be in phase one contract for that area?
From Boyceville?
Yeah, from K-21 to W-12.
So what we're going to do in phase one is we would build the trail right up to the Esopus Creek on the eastward approach, come to the creek, basically put an overlook, and then we have about 1,400 feet on the other side from Route 28A to the creek. And again, what we would do is just put an overlook. When we line up the funding for the bridge, my hope is we can put that bridge out to bid and then put the bridge in as we're finishing up the other parts of the
trail. What kind of time frame are we looking at, do you think?
I honestly can't say with the FEMA money. I thought,
because whatever
we had originally thought about doing the bridge in advance of the trail, and the reason we didn't is we couldn't get the FEMA approvals.
Okay.
We thought we would have had those by now. So I've got a dollar value, which is, they've said, you know, CMRR estimated that bridge would be $1.75 million to replace. We know that a bridge that is like that would be $5 to $6 million. FEMA has said the bridge you had wasn't even a good bridge, so we'll only give you a portion of that. So they've said, we'll give you $2.2 million. Now we're going for this alternative project for the trail bridge that would be raised out of the flood zone by 6 or 7 feet. It would have 2 feet freeboards to allow the 50-year flood to pass. So eventually that would be built up if we do the bridge.
Right, but that 1,400 feet is going to get wiped out during phase two.
Well, it would be essentially a construction road that helps us get in.
Right, so let's not spend a lot of money in phase one, you know, making it a nice pass to go to an overlook.
I agree.
And then it's going to get ripped out when phase two comes in, so
yeah.
We could save some money there.
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris. Question regarding those two wetland areas that have been created, I guess man-made wetlands because there was drainage that wasn't. Is there any possibility of these expanding? Encroaching upon any work that we're doing now, since they weren't, I mean, there's no plan to fix these drains, right?
No, we're not allowed to clear
right.
them.
Okay, so is there any possibility that those wetland areas could expand into work areas that would
I think we'll be okay. The one wetland AS-20, which is over by Shokan, it's just west of milepost 16, that's going to have a boardwalk that clears the wetland by 3 or 4 feet, and that wetland is well established and hasn't really moved in years. It's been a mapped wetland, and that one was probably there 20 years ago. The one that really formed newly was Wetland O, and we're fully going around that and up the hill. So even if that grows in size, it really wouldn't have much of an impact. And we're not going to let it grow in size. I mean, this is...
Well, let me ask you, how would you prevent it from growing inside? What are some of the strategies you can employ that would prevent
it? Well, the trail is high. Well, the trail coming up to there will be higher than the wetland, and right now the we can't clean the existing culverts, but the runoff goes over these drainage things that are clogged. I don't think we'd allow the more debris to build up. Let's say, I think part of the struggle on both the rail and trail aspects have been just the drainage. Like it's not been maintained, and you lose a lot of integrity of the structure when you start having these washouts. And
right. And removing the ties in that wetland area, are there any special work regulations that you'll have to employ to create
yes.
access to that?
Yeah, so silt fence.
What kind of cost is that at?
It's in the project already.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and we went back and forth on whether to take the ties out. DEP wanted them out, and one part of DEP wanted them out, and another division of DEP didn't want them out. And they fought it out amongst themselves, and then they said take them out. So compliance didn't want them because they didn't want people, you know, stepping through the wetland, which would, you know, sometimes that area dries up, and it would be very tempting to just walk right through it. We're hopefully at both ends going to have, you know, a fence basically saying this is an area that developed as a wetland, and we'll use it as an interpretive opportunity. We've gone around, we've tried to preserve the habitat here. You know, we can talk about the steps that we took to minimize disruption.
Chris, is it feasible to possibly, if the committee would like, maybe next month, with the help of UCAT, maybe a small bus to take us up for an on-site tour. All meet here, leave from here.
I would welcome that. I'd love to have you.
Is there something that we, I mean, without trudging, you know, miles, that we can pull right up to and take a short walk?
We can go up to the Woodstock Dyke, which is, again, one of the photos here, and it will be the easternmost trailhead. We can go to Shokan, which will be the center trailhead. We could walk a little bit there. We could see the one wetland that we have to do the decking over. And then I would suggest we go out to Boyceville and look at that area by the trestle.
Okay.
So we can make three or four stops that, you know, are a little bit of walking, but you get an idea of what things look like.
Okay.
And you get an idea of the what we've done to stabilize the logging roads going in there so we could use them for heavy trucking.
Okay.
Yeah. And
very good.
Maybe Mary, you could let me know some dates and I'll work.
Let's set it up.
Find a bus.
All right.
You will.
Any other questions for Mr. White?
I can't drive the bus. Though.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Just telling you.
Thank you.
We have helmets.
I usually get thrown under the bus.
Dave's not here.
Thank you, Chris.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Everyone has in their pack, there's a memo from the county executive to Chairman Rock. From Suzanne Holt to the Ulster County Development Alliance. Legislator Archer and myself previously, an hour or so ago, sat in on the EDA, Ulster County EDA, and it's regarding the Jumpstart new businesses in Ellenville. We reviewed, 19 potential, and what did we forward? Say a dozen out of the 19? Move on to the next step. This step in the process was not about funding them. It was moving them along to SDBG, Small Business Development, to see if a viable business plan could be developed. Then they'll come back in July, I believe, and then we'll...
July,
August, to see if what kind of funding we would do for them. So, that's... All right, moving along. Resolution number 233. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Callanan Industries, UCAT.
So moved.
Second.
All right. If everybody remember, I don't know if you want to update us quickly. I think everybody knows the low bidder dropped out and Callanan is the next low bidder. So.
Is that what went up?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah,
that's
my
question. They dropped out, so we went to the next low bidder.
All right.
Callahan now has been awarded the bid.
Very good. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Or is there, I'm sorry, motion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we did it. Yeah.
Okay.
Me and Herbie.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 241, approving the execution of the contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and Tyler Technologies, Inc., Information Services. Mr. De Leon is out of town, and we have Carla Wainwright here. Carla, would you update the committee on exactly what this is?
So the additional $3,885 we're looking to add to the software maintenance contract for the enterprise public safety system, which is currently in its implementation phase, is to cover the additional software maintenance related to 5 modules which have been identified as also being required for the implementation of the new enterprise system. So it's 5 modules that were not initially part of the package and are now being added, which are handled on a separate software license and implementation contract, which the $3,885 is only related to the maintenance, 12 months of maintenance for those modules.
What exactly is the modules for? I believe Deputy Souls is also there. This is public safety modules.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
There's I have a list here. List is BOLOs, which is through computer computer-aided dispatch through the CAD system, and Bolo's is be on the lookout for. So it's a pretty quick way for the dispatchers to send out information on people who are wanted or vehicles that are wanted in an emergency situation. There's bookings and equipment tracking, which is relative to the jail and equipment that would be in there. And then there's fire records, which is the LOSAP is part of the retirement packages that the volunteer firemen have, that they're required to have tracking for the state. And then the data analysis and management reporting is a tool that allows the corrections. It was inadvertently left out of that contract. And first, it allows the corrections team to analyze all their data and statistics, which helps with the reporting through the state corrections and any of the other meetings. And the other one was service vehicle rotation. Actually, it keeps track of the tows that are called for police services or emergencies anywhere. It helps us keep track of what tow companies were used, and it documents their use.
Any questions? Carler, Deputy Sol.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Thank you. Resolution number 250, appointing an alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board from the town of Shandaken.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Mary, we have all the necessary paperwork.
Yes.
Shandaken loves them, we love them, right?
There you go.
All right, motion and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 251, authorizing the chairman of the legislature to call for public hearings to satisfy the public participation requirements of the Community Development Block Grant Program.
Move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Department of Planning. Dennis, briefly.
Sure. This resolution, essentially what it does is allow the chairman to call, it's a programmatic resolution. It allows the chairman to call the necessary hearings for the county's applications for community development block grant funds. Part of the reason behind that has to do with the fact of the timeliness of getting hearings called with respect to when notices of funding availabilities come out. So we're sort of cutting on the edge sometimes when these funding announcements come out, and the fact that we have to have a resolution on 1 month with respect to the authorization to call the hearing, and then the hearing usually is another 30 days past that. And so we wanted to avoid that, the chance that we would miss an opportunity to submit and we wouldn't be able to get a resolution through. The other reason to do this is that the county's Economic Development Agency is exploring with applicants right now multiple applications using the availability of community development block grant funds, which they haven't used before, mm-hmm. for economic development purposes. And one of the reasons that we haven't used it has to do with the fact that they have to benefit low and moderate income individuals, A, and B is you also have to pay, if you're not doing equipment purchases or other kinds of purchases, if you're doing construction, you have to pay, it's a prevailing, Davis-Bacon comes into play, and you have to do prevailing wage. There may be as many as three and as many as five. We think we have at least three that are currently going through the review process that may end up being applications with regard to CDBG. And one of the things that means is that prior to submitting a complete application, there needs to be a resolution from the, there needs to be the public hearing from the legislature that shows that the public participation requirements were met before you can submit that application. And we want to make sure that we have the ability to do that on the basis of when applicants are ready to go, and we finalized what the monies that we're going to ask for. We went through the pre-application process with the community development block grant folks. So it'll speed that process up rather than having individual resolutions for public hearings. It speeds that process up as well. I would point out that we did do a resolution similar to this in 2016. So it's not new for the legislature to consider these kinds of programmatic resolutions for public hearing purposes.
Any questions for Dennis?
Was there a motion and a second?
Yes.
So moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Thank you, Dennis. Resolution number 252, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer the 2019 Accelerated Transit Capital and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding. Department of Public Transportation.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Brief description, or is it kind of self-explanatory?
It's pretty much self-explanatory. It's 100% funded money from the state.
Very good. Any questions for the superintendent? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Resolution number 253, supporting a grant application to the New York State Department of Transportation to apply, accept, and administer public transportation modernization and enhancement funding for bus and bus facility capital investment program and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding, Department of Public Transportation, UCAT.
Move.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Yep, it's just enhancement money. It's the same as pretty much the last. It's 100% funded, and we'll use it to enhance the building and probably put towards more purchase of buses, replacement of buses.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 254, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Transportation to accept the New York State share for mass transportation projects for fiscal year 2018, Department of Public Transportation, UCAT.
So moved.
Second.
This is money that came down and they just released it May 22nd. We received the letter, so that I'm thankful that the resolution is here and you approved it. We worked on the project. This is what we used. That's going towards the parking lot and stuff like that, the bus wash. The bus Wi-Fi is now being tested in the buses and so far it's working. But it's all 100% also, so we're doing good.
Very good. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Resolution number 255, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement and any amendments thereto with the High Falls Water District for the installation, maintenance, and repair of a water line to serve the Ulster County Community College, SUNY Ulster. Department of Planning, Dennis, briefly.
Motion
second. Moved by Legislator Waltman, seconded by Legislator Archer.
This is an agreement essentially to provide water to the college. It's part of a package of resolutions that are being considered both at this level and at the trustee level. This allows essentially for the county to enter into the contract to actually hook up into the water line and provide the repair and maintenance for it. I'm sorry, Aaron. And provide the repair and maintenance for it. There is another similar resolution that is going through the College Board of Trustees, which actually will allow the college to purchase the water from the district. We've been engaged in this project for quite some time. We now have an agreement, both on the purchasing side and also on the maintenance side. If anybody doesn't know what the project does, it essentially provides water from the High Falls Water District to the community college. And I believe the taking is up to 35,000 gallons per day. It provides, one of the reasons we need that water is a reliable water supply for the college, A, and B is, as the college begins to modernize, you need to realize that the current college does not have fire facility capability out there for many of its buildings. So as we modernize these buildings, we're going to need to put in sprinkler systems and other things, and the current water supply would not provide for that. This actually gives them a much more reliable source of water. And it's cheaper than anything else that we were able to find out there. They've been poking holes out there for quite a while looking for additional water supply. This requires an agreement between the High Falls Water District, and that water district is represented by the two town boards, the town board of Rosendale and the town board of Marbletown. We've laid some of the groundwork for this. There's some sleeves when they rebuilt the bridge. We put a new bridge in High Falls. We work with the Department of Transportation to include sleeves in those bridges so that we don't have to bore the abutments.
We also had the foresight to essentially put into that contract the ability, a sleeve underneath Route 213 in that area so that we could just put the pipe through under Route 213 without having to do a saw cut on Route 213. There's been a lot of forethought on here. Hopefully, we finally come to the culmination and get this in. The route will run essentially from Berm Road on the bridge, down 213, up Lucas Avenue, toward moving north on Lucas Avenue, pick up Leggett Road, run Leggett Road to a property called Vivekananda, and it'll run across Vivekananda, and the county, the college has secured the necessary easements to run across that private property.
Is the county going to be maintaining the...
That's correct. The county will own the line. There'll be a meter pit on at Berm Road, and we will take water at that point from the High Falls Water District, and then we'll be able to maintain the line. Now, we may enter into contractual agreements with the High Falls Water District to maintain that line. In addition, we'll install a sub-meter at the college, and looking at those two meter readings, we'll be able to understand whether there's any leaks in that line. That was one of the requirements from the district in terms of our discussion.
Dennis, quick question. When you say the line, how much of the line would we be responsible for?
Once all of the line that we're going to be installing will be responsible for. It will be Ulster County's line. Think of this as a private, we're going to be an out-of-district water user, and we will be able to maintain the line and install it with our own capital expense. Part of these agreements also provide for the ability of the town to come back to us in the future and renegotiate with us as to whether or not they want to use that line for water for other areas in the community. We've had a long discussion with the town, part of the reason that this has taken so long, about our ability essentially to agree to this at this particular point in time versus agreeing to it at a later point in time. That discussion has been through several iterations and several years of discussion, two different supervisors, and we've come to an agreement that we think that we can move ahead. And if there is a need for the Stone Ridge area or other areas that are adjacent to our line to use it for water supply purposes, we've designed the line so that they can hook into it. It's designed that's large enough to provide that. We've also designed places in the line where we can actually put booster pumps so that we can actually provide the pressure needed in that line to do this. And then we would go through a process of trying to figure out what our capital costs are. Remember the idea that the state is paying for 50% of this capital cost through the state education fund. They're pretty much going to want their money back if it becomes a public line and not just serve the college.
So does the potential be its own water district?
We've told the community, worked with the community, that if they wanted to go through what they call a map plan and report and form their own water district, then they could come back to us and have that negotiation with us in terms of hooking into the line. I don't have the mileage in my head, Kathy, but it sounds right. It sounds about right.
That's the number I remember.
Yes,
that's what this contract says.
Yeah,
there you go. So, thank you, Dennis. It was a motion and a second. Yeah. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you, Dennis. Resolution number 256, urging Governor Cuomo and the New York State Senate to approve the appointment of Jonathan Heppner to the Olympic Regional Development Authority ORDA Board in accordance with Chapter 60 of the New York State Laws of 2012. Moved by Legislator Archer. Is there a second? Legislator Waltman. Discussion? Just for myself, I was hoping Jonathan would be here tonight. But that being absent, I am very happy to move this forward to the floor, and I just hope Jonathan will be a strong advocate for the Bel Air project in this county. So, yes, you may.
I am the legislator from the district where the Bel Air Mountain Ski Center is, but have been involved in the process of the community review of that project for almost 20 years. And I understand Legislator Heppner to be both a fair-minded and independent voice on this, but when I talked with him about it, he also expressed his support for the Bel Air Resort.
I said the Bel Air ORDA, skis, right.
Well, he certainly supports
I know they're ORDA. Intertwined, but I'm talking ski center.
Well, So I don't need to be saying what I'm saying because I misunderstood you. But I do think that it's important that the area not be a subject of contention other than the processes that are already in place. And I support having a legislator from Ulster County who is seen as somebody who would be a fair dealer be appointed to this position. So I strongly support Legislator Hefner's appointment.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 276, amending capital project number 334, the Kingston Rail Trail, PIN 8758.04, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute agreements, certifications, and reimbursement requests for federal aid on behalf of Ulster County with New York State Department of Transportation for funding right-of-way acquisition and amending the 2018 capital fund budget. Department of Planning, Dennis, briefly.
Is this the late?
This is the late one.
Yeah.
This is the late.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I didn't see it.
All right.
Does it go to laws?
Laws and rules next Monday night, or the 18th.
Yes.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
But if anybody has questions.
Are there any questions?
Sure.
Give us
a
right.
Okay, so this is a project that I inherited. It had started in 2010. It was to connect the O&W Hurley Rail Trail that runs along 209 along the old O&W route into the city of Kingston. We had run out of money years ago, and then it kind of sat on the sidelines. Dennis was able to line up additional funding in 2014, and so we resumed it. It's a 1.8-mile connection. It will be asphalt-paved, 10-foot-wide trail, mostly running along the Central Hudson right-of-way. We lost about a year on the project because we've been coordinating with Central Hudson because they're moving their poles out of the way. When we worked with them, Dennis actually had suggested they move over on the right-of-way, and as a result, they ended up saving money, and they've cleared a lot of that right away. So we didn't want to do any work on it before their trucks got in and tore it all up. And so we're about ready now to have DOT authorization to acquire the three easements that we need from Central Hudson, Adirondack Transit Lines, and Ulster Savings Bank, and all three have been very amenable to that. So this money is $60,000. It's 80% federal, 20% state. There's zero county dollars in it, and I don't think we'll need all 60,000. I think two of the three will donate the easement. So this really is a pro forma thing that we need to pass in order to have DOT and the county sign that grant agreement. We hope to go to construction in early 2019 on this and be open by 2019. So we got a lot going.
Motion by Legislator Litz. Is there a
second?
Second by Legislator Archer. Is there any other discussion on this? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. And we'll take this up for lateness on the, 18th?
Yes. And I'm sorry that it was late.
That's
apologies.
Okay. Understood. All right. Any old business? No? Hearing none? Two things. We did have a very nice experience with the Rail Explorers. Also, the Catskill Mountain Railroad did a, rob the train, or what do they call it? Train robbery?
Great train robbery.
Great train robbery. Thank you. And it's good that the track at both ends is working. I understand Rail Explorers started off with, 2,000 reservations, and I think it's up to about 2,500 now.
Yeah, and they've sold out all weekend through the end of July.
Through the end of July, so.
Wow. What's their capacity on the weekend?
What's it what?
What's their capacity on the weekend?
20 persons per tour. And then they do, depending on the day, they can do 4 to 6 tours.
So.
And so they've added, I wrote it on Saturday as a paying customer, and it's super fun. And there were people that had come up to the area, to Phoenicia, and they were on the waiting list in case somebody didn't show up, but everybody showed up. And it was professional, and it was safe, and it just was something fun up there. And then there's a new brew pub about a mile away. So perfect combination.
That's what I heard. There's a rumor. I heard a rumor that about 20 people showed up at a brew pub. I didn't hear that.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Right. Well, that's
and
good.
I won't say if a legislator here had a brew or
not.
They're, that's how an economy, that's the basic principle of an economy.
And I won't say anything except that the collision from the past porter is something everyone should consider.
Okay, very good.
And
anything else?
I would disagree. The Hefeweizen is much better.
Really? Okay. Yeah, try it again. As I always say, there's something wrong with this. Oh, when you go to somebody's house, you want to have fun? This is what I do. There's something wrong with that. And I'm going to need to have more to find out what it is. All right, everybody.
With that, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made. Second. All those in favor.
Aye.